is booked by our host, wall crosses, statues, and rosaries. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net/store.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak.
Pope Francis has declared the year of mercy.
The message of divine mercy is the heart of the gospel.
You said it very well.
ISIS claims they have more terrorists in America.
What you talking about, Willis?
This is not a time to be afraid, though.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Nobody!
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
What you do is so critically important.
That's a great analysis.
You nailed it.
The force is strong in this one.
It's showtime.
Well, let's start the insanity.
You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me?
Who's with me? Let's go!
And good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you for being here. We've got 2 hours to talk about the things that matter most and saints. Of course, we've got the canonization of Mother Teresa coming up this Sunday. And I have some thoughts that I wanted to share with you. And we're all excited about Mother Teresa's canonization because she is, in fact, somebody many of us we've lived our adult lives with, and I have some questions, though, about kind of a popular, the way we go after saints here. You know, sometimes our devotion to saints keeps us from feeling as though we're supposed to be as good as them. Now, you know, I'm delighted that we are formally canonizing Mother Teresa, and the Church is holding her up as an exemplar. This is good, but you know it is kind of funny when you think. I think, again, pulling from my own experience here and from listening to conversations over the years, you know, when we say that we are. When we say that we're excited about the saint, are we also excusing ourselves from becoming a saint? We're going to talk about that. The number is going to be 1-877-573-7825. What is it that keeps you from becoming the saint that you know that Mother Teresa is? What is it about the way that we approach saints that hinders us from becoming one? You know, for instance, if you met someone who, when you asked him or her what he or she was doing with his or her life, and they said, oh, I'm becoming a saint, wouldn't your first gut-level response be a little arrogant there, a little over the top? Of course, then you would stop and correct yourself and say, oh, yeah, I guess we're all supposed to be saints. But Mother Teresa is we know she actually is a saint. She's lived among us. Many of us have met her. And we should be able to say to ourselves, she's our destiny. In other words, she's reflecting Christ in her way, the way that we are called to reflect Christ in our way. And sometimes I think with all of our discussion and enthusiasm about the communion of saints, we forget that we're supposed to be sitting there with them. The number is 1-877-573-7825. So here's a question. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to wait to lay those questions out later because I don't want to make sure I phrase them just right. But the number will be 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. I do have a few news items I want to bring up today, too. Saudis arrest and deport 27 Christians for simply praying. We also have heard lots about George Soros spending $650,000, giving it to two organizations that are trying to influence the church in America. There's some good reporting on that, and there's some terrible reporting on that. But first, let's get to the headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much, Al. Welcome, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, September 2nd. Today we commemorate Blessed John Francis Berthe, and today's news is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at charitymobile.com. Of course, more than 100,000 people are expected to gather in St. Peter's Square for the canonization of Mother Teresa on Sunday. Vatican spokesman Greg Burke told reporters at a press conference today that all of the 100,000 tickets have been allotted for the ceremony. However, he said officials fully expect that thousands of people without tickets will crowd the streets around St. Peter's Square for the ceremony. Marcellios Andrino, the man who was healed by the miracle that qualified Mother Teresa for canonization, told reporters that he does not consider himself special. He said, quote, "Maybe it was me this time, but maybe tomorrow it will be someone else. The merciful Lord looks at us all without distinction," end quote. A plea deal will spare the LAX shooter the death penalty, Jason Campadonia reports.
The man accused of killing a TSA agent and wounding three others in a shooting rampage at Los Angeles International Airport in 2013 has agreed to plead guilty. Paul Ciancia took the plea deal Thursday, which spares him from being sentenced to death. He's expected to formally enter the plea next week in downtown Los Angeles. Officials say even though Ciancia took the plea deal, he still faces life in prison. According to a note found in a bag belonging to Ciancia, he went to LAX with the intent of killing TSA agents. Jason Campadonia, NBC News. Radio, Los Angeles.
Coastal North Carolina is getting hammered by Tropical Storm Hermine. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory is urging people to be cautious.
We want to encourage everyone to continue to be safe, especially with the flooding. Water can kill, and we want to make sure everyone's extremely careful.
The center of the storm is crossing from Georgia to South Carolina, but the storm's outer bands are dumping rain across much of North Carolina's coastline. The state director of public safety says swift water teams are standing by in case they are needed for rescues. Funerals are scheduled today for two nuns who were killed in their Mississippi home last week. Sister Margaret Held will be laid to rest in Wisconsin, and Sister Paula Merritt will be buried in Nazareth, Kentucky. Rodney Earl Sanders is being charged with capital murder in their deaths. The fellow sisters of the victims are asking that Sanders be spared the death penalty, saying punishment, yes, revenge, no. And now your fascinating fact of the day. The 1979 Muppet movie was banned in New Zealand for gratuitous violence. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. The number is 1-877-573-7825. The Communion of Saints, the canonization of Mother Teresa, our topic in these first segments of Direct to My Desk. Again, let me set this up. Let me go back. When I was a kid, okay, and this is, I'm not exaggerating. When I was a kid, I grew up in Connecticut. There were lots of Catholics in Connecticut. I think at the time, roughly 50% of the state identified themselves as Catholic. We didn't feel as though we were that many, but there were a lot of Catholics around, and I was proud to be Catholic. For me, it was more of a cultural thing. But I don't exaggerate when I say that if you were a young boy and you prayed, and somebody noticed, almost certainly somebody would pop up and say, "Oh, you must want to be a priest." Now, I'm not talking about any great sanctity here. I'm talking about the very fact of praying. Somebody would have said, "Well, you're a priest." That's kind of where I grew up. That was the kind of low expectation they had for laity. I don't recall. I don't recall ever imagining myself developing as a, quote, saint. Everybody I knew planned to go to purgatory, right? And all the work, all the extra work would be done there, and then we'd get out and we'd all be in heaven. And again, we're talking about a kid who's 12, 13, 14 years old. But a saint was somebody very distant from us, a semi-divine figure almost. And if you had said that it was your intention to become a saint, you would have been laughed at, or you would have been thought arrogant. And, you know, that's obviously a result of very, very bad teaching or no teaching. I think there are still remnants of that among listeners to Catholic radio. I'm not sure how common it is, because those who listen to Catholic radio are actually better catechized than 95% of self-identified Catholics in America. But still, I do think every once in a while I think I detect in my own heart and in conversation with others that when we talk about the saints, we're not really talking about our destiny. We're talking about somebody else's. And if that's the case, then the way we approach saints might be actually hindering us from becoming one. So we have Mother Teresa's canonization coming up. And is she so different from us that when we venerate her, we are in fact avoiding becoming like her? Now, the Church's teaching is very clear. We are all called to be saints. St. Paul, in many of his epistles, actually starts out calling the inhabitants of Corinth and Philippi, Thessalonica, to the saints at Thessalonica. And by that, he's meaning all those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, because he regards them as, quote, in Christ. That little prepositional phrase is important. In Christ. So that his life becomes your life. His destiny becomes your destiny. So in that sense, St. Paul can call us saints by anticipation. But I suspect that intellectually, we all are comfortable saying, yes, that's true. If I don't become a saint, I will be in hell. So yes, that is what I'm supposed to do. And yet, do we take the time to actually think that we can become like Mother Teresa? Because you are to be who you are every bit as fully in Christ as Mother Teresa was in Christ. You may not have the worldwide outreach or the reputation of being a living saint. But in fact, you're going to be as perfected in Christ-like love as she is. And so that's the question I'm throwing, one of the questions I'm going to be throwing out, and that is, what's keeping you from becoming the saint that you've been called to be? What keeps you from becoming the person that God created you to be? What's in the way? How do you excuse yourself? How do you allow weakness, moral weakness, maybe just tiredness sometimes? What are the things that get in the way of becoming who you are called to be and who the Holy Spirit assures us in some way we already are, because we are in Christ? The number is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Pueblo, Colorado. Laura, you're listening to EW10 Radio there through KFEL. Good to have you.
Nice to that you took my call.
Yeah.
I was telling the call screener that when we look at Mother Angelica, Mother mm-hmm. Teresa, mm-hmm. most people say, I can't even begin to be like that. And it's true. how many of us can donate our lives to, like Mother Teresa did, help the, and I mean really, really, really out there helping poor people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, but I have to tell you, in our parish, there's a little cradle there for people that want to donate to women that are in unwed pregnancies and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. items for them.
Yeah.
That thing stood empty for so long. I think I put something in there out of shame for everybody, really. I do. I said, how sad that these people who preach, geez, have that child, you know. They only say it, but they don't help. And that's one of the things that really irked me, and I hate to say it, but none of us are, we're so far from being saints. And EWTN, there's maybe four people there that I listen to that I think that are really practicing their faith. It's sad.
Well,
and me too. I'm not saying only them. I'm saying in the outward world too. I mean, in this world too, and in the church too.
Well, I don't want to put you on
know,
the spot.
I threw you for a loop.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'll ask you the question I asked everybody else, in which I'm glad to talk about myself. What is it that keeps you from becoming a saint? What is the thing that gets in your way?
Because I know that I can't aspire to do a lot of the things that saints have been called to do. I know I'm not going to do that. I do as best I can, but...
And what does that mean?
I will go that extra step.
Yeah.
Let's say my friends say I'm going to get old clothes together to give to the church for people that are poor. I think that's insulting. I said, why don't you give... Because my dad once told me that when I was getting old clothes together for poor people. He said, yeah, because they don't have any old clothes of their own, you know. And it made me think, if I'm going to give them something, why not give them something new?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I would like to have.
Sure.
I'm telling you, my way of thinking is really different from a lot of people, the way they think. But I know that I cannot. I can try my best, but to be like Mother Teresa, I mean, that's just stuff.
Yeah,
way out of my...
So let's distinguish a few things here, because her life trajectory, right, is very different than yours and mine. She was called to religious life early on. She was very effective in Sisters of Loretto, and then the Lord spoke to her in a very direct way about the work in Calcutta, even gave her designs for the habits of the Sisters of Charity. The Missionaries of Charity, excuse me. So let's continue. I'll be going to have to take a break here, but it's not about doing as much as she does. I don't think that's in the cards for many of us. But the quality of your life, you are called to be as perfected in love. You're not necessarily called to reach as many people. So we'll come back in just a minute, Lori, and stay with this.
A small fraction of 60 million babies killed by abortion are actually buried in human cemeteries, the only act of charity ever shown to them. Concentration camp survivor Elie Wiesel said, "To forget murder victims is to kill them twice. Honor the victims of abortion." Services are planned at graves of aborted babies in Michigan. The National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Babies is Saturday, September 10th. See locations and times at ProLifeSociety.com.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Ave Maria Radio is looking for someone who is dedicated to the station's Catholic mission and is also flexible in their time to work with us. If you like data entry and a willingness to learn billing and traffic, then you can help the apostolate thrive. Learn more about this part-time off-mic position by sending your resume to resumes@avemariaradio.net. That's resumes at avemariaradio.net.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
This Ave Maria Radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. During the years I was an evangelical pastor, the letters of St. Paul were my stock in trade. In fact, teaching through his letter to the Romans helped lead me back to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, beginning on October 27th this year, my friend Steve Ray and Father Steve Mattson and I will be following in the footsteps of St. Paul, leading a pilgrimage and seminar at sea as we cruise the Mediterranean. We'll visit Corinth and Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus, and many more biblical sites. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Why discipline your kids? I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Discipline's hard. Takes enormous energy, stamina, resolve. Let him go. It's just easier to let him go. He hammers away at you crack. You feel guilty sometimes, don't you? Wondering if you're being mean, strict, standards a little too high, afraid of doing something psychologically incorrect. I'll give you a great reason why you discipline him, Mom, Dad. Because you're the best he's ever going to have. You're his mother. You're his father. You love him. He mouths off to you. What do? Oh, you stick him in a chair. Ooh, you're brutal. Find him a buck. Make him write you a 250-word essay on mouth control. That child's 30 and he mouths off. What happens? He could get beat up. He could get fired. Have to sleep on the couch. The stakes go higher as you get older. That's why we discipline him now. You don't want the world to discipline your child. The world doesn't love your child. The world doesn't have soft landings to its discipline. The world won't hug him and kiss him and love him up and explain it to him after it's all over. Only you will do that. Some employer's not going to go, "You are so cranky. Now, did you get a nap today? We'll go take another one." Discipline is love. It is durable love. It will keep that child from getting battered and bruised the next 60 years at the hands of the world. Do it because you love them. Do it because you're mom and dad.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints day by day? Order online at AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab. That's AveMariaRadio.net under the store tab.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Good to be with you. The number is 1-877-573-7825. 1-877-573-7825. Talking about the upcoming canonization of Mother Teresa, which gives rise to conversation about saints, which asks, why aren't you one? What is it that keeps us from becoming the saint we've been called to be? I'm with Lori in Pueblo, Colorado. She's listening on KFEL. And so back to that question, Lori. You know that you will not have the influence that Mother Teresa did. You don't see that that's in the cards for you. And I said that's a good bet. Yeah, that's a good bet. So I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to have the influence Mother Teresa had either. So what is keeping you from becoming the loving person that she was?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but first I've got to congratulate you on one thing you've done right. You've done many things, I'm sure, right. But you talked about football and how on Sundays that's taken over all of our time.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friends. They were like, wow. I said, well, at least he tried. I mean, come on. He tried. We know how that's going to go. But do you see what I'm saying? If you try to do something mm-hmm. out of the ordinary that you know is right in your heart, you know right. that's right.
Right.
But the people, everybody will say, oh, yeah, like that's going to happen, you know, give it up.
Yeah,
and,
okay. No, that's good.
And so it's hard to be a saint.
Yes,
it's hard
that's
to
good.
Do things that...
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. And let me say again, Mother Teresa was she had great advantages in becoming a saint in that, from very early on in her life, she was set apart for the work of prayer, contemplation, and service to others. She generally would be encouraged by those around her. She had a community around her that would applaud efforts at ministry.
Most of us don't have that. We tend to be parts of groups that are addicted to mediocrity. They say exactly what you just said. Well, what do you mean you're not going to have your kids on this team because they play on Sundays? You're depriving them. You can't do that. There's all kinds of excuses that the world, the flesh, and the devil present to us that keep us from being different, peculiar, distinct. I agree with you. And this is why I always say you can't do this on your own. You have to have a community of people around you who support you, share with you, and tell you you're not nuts.
And there are going to be people, like what I was telling you about that Sunday football thing, there are going to be people that are going to say, gee, that guy's got guts.
Yeah, they'll say you've got guts, and other people say you're crazy, and other people will say you're judgmental. All that stuff's going to happen.
Well, and see, this is what I'm telling you, that you answered your own question. That's the reason people can't become saints is because there's so much pushback that it's people saying, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, no, that's good. That actually gets the major biblical theme, Laurie. It's the theme of worldliness and why St. Paul in Romans chapter 12 tells us, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. The society around us, even the Christian society around us, presents resistance to becoming the saints that God has called us to be. And I appreciate the call and the candor, too. They're very helpful. The number is 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Jeff in Illinois, listening on WPMJ. How are you, Jeff?
I'm fine, Al. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Fantastic. Sort of a threshold moment for me. You had just sort of addressed my question right at the end of the last conversation.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about the canonization of Mother Teresa. And she said, boy, could you imagine becoming a saint in this day and age? And, you know, we got on this particular subject, and I asked what she meant by that, knowing what she meant. She says, well, when you consider the world around us, you know, the secularization society,
sure,
you know, the anti-Catholic sentiment, I mean, the anti-Christian sentiment, just what's going on overall. You know, it's like you said, it's the idea that we're just being pushed into a box.
Right.
Because of this, we can't let, you know, our inner saint out. And as we were discussing that, we kind of got into the, you know, a lot of the problems that we're having whenever we bring up Mother Teresa and her canonization. And that is because now she's in the media much more because of her canonization. We start to see her detractors surfacing again. With, you know, a number of different allegations. Mismanagement of funds, and, I mean, everything from, you know, being sadistic, and it just goes on and on. If you do an internet search of Mother Teresa, information about her canonization, it's like two or three pages later.
Yeah. Again, this is part of the sewer system that we sometimes call the internet. There's a lot of stuff that goes through there, and there's no gatekeeper, so you get a lot of sludge. And the critics that she has, though, Bill Donahue, by the way, has written a very good book on this because he knew that this was going to be coming up. And so he published a book, Unmasking Mother Teresa's Critics, which he and I talked about this last week. The two things that mark every one of Mother Teresa's critics, or at least the big names like Christopher Hitchens, they're militant atheists, and they generally have been supporters of socialism or left-wing politics. And I think it's interesting that that's where the criticisms come from. The criticisms come from atheists because they don't believe that there can be the kind of divinely inspired altruism that we see in people. So they've got to find another motive that motivated Mother Teresa. And they generally like governmental action, and they don't like personal charitable activity. So that's where the critics largely come from. They come from the world of atheism, and they come from the world of left-wing politics. Statist thinkers.
Well, yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, many of our modern-day saints, just by virtue of being modern-day saints, I think seem to fall victim to this critical analysis which isn't always favorable. I mean, you never see anybody going after St. Francis. You never see anybody going after St.
They would, though. If they had the opportunity of going after St. Francis of Assisi, if he were a contemporary, I'm sure they'd go after him. He's far enough removed from us where it's, you know, there's nothing. I mean, attacking Mother Teresa is I mean, Hitchens thought he was being bold and brassy and courageous doing this, when in fact he did no original research on the project at all. And it's really secondhand material in his book, and it doesn't stand up to critical analysis. The church was so, was so unthreatened by this that they actually asked Christopher Hitchens to weigh in on Mother Teresa's canonization. He was actually interviewed because they wanted to know everything he had. What possible criticisms could he raise that might jeopardize her sanctity? So I agree with you. It's out there. Just remember this. If you look at the comment boxes that follow a lot of articles online in newspapers or magazines, those comment boxes do not represent the public the way the old letters to the editor used to represent the public. Because when you had to write a letter to the editor, you generally had to know how to spell. You had to take the patience to sign your name and take personal responsibility for what you said. You didn't talk about yourself in code. And generally, there was a gatekeeper that guaranteed that your letter had some merit to it. That's not true of the comment boxes on most magazine websites or newspaper websites. Any person with pathological and malignant opinions can just sign them, you know, put their opinion up there. They can make stuff up. They can use vile language. They can give you the most inane and simplistic analysis and then sign off as, you know, Spanish Fly XYT. You know, who the heck is that? So I would just urge people, remember, the Internet is like a huge flea market. It's not like a great department store. It's more like a flea market. And you have to find what you really need there. And you're going to get a lot of junk along the way.
Oh, yeah. I'm a university professor here in Peoria. And I still find that for most of my students, the first source they tend to go to, as common as anything, is Wikipedia.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And especially when it comes to anything that has to do with Christianity, religion overall,
yeah,
it's almost always negative. And then, when you look at the authors, the information presented, I mean, it's so skewed. And I have a hard time convincing my students that this is the case. It's gotten to where I have to literally provide them with sources that, you know, give a fairly biased, or I should say unbiased view, and let it go from there. It's almost as if I can't not necessarily trust them,
yeah,
that, you know, it isn't going to work if I just let them do searches on the Internet.
Right. Well, they need guidance, and that's what you're there for, right? I mean, that
absolutely
is the role of the teacher. Is the teacher knows more than they do, and your opinion counts more than theirs does. That's my point. Is we've had the death of expertise in this culture, and we end up with virtually anybody's opinion being regarded as highly as anyone else's, and it's just crazy. That's why you've got this boost in conspiracy theories, and I think it will right itself eventually, because people will finally, you know, gets good sense again. I think we'll see gatekeepers reemerge, people who actually know something, who can say this is nonsense. But the good news about the Internet is that it will give people with ideas, unpopular ideas, the opportunity to throw those ideas out there and get response. And, you know, we've seen that the Internet has done a lot of great things for us. But
yeah,
it also is a lot of trash when it comes to opinions. Appreciate the call, Jeff. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Al.
The number is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to, looks like Philip is with us, listening on our app in Ireland. Philip, good to have you with us.
How are you?
I'll tell you what, I just heard the music come up. Hang in there. We're going to come back to you on the other side of the break, all right?
Okay.
All right. I'm Al Cresta. The number is 1-877-573-7825. Lines are full, but as soon as we wrap up a call, you're able to get through because the line opens up. More coming.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the Men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today, 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical. And in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
May God's grace shine on you. This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, the Catholic Healthcare Sharing Ministry. CMF Curo is an affordable, beautiful, Christ-centered healthcare alternative for you and your family. It protects you, your religious liberty, and the gospel of life. With open enrollment upon us, now is the time to take action. Explore and join CMF Curo today. Go to cmfcuro.com. That is cmfcuro.com. And may his light be brilliant in you.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. To celebrate Rochelle Reffner's birthday from her father, Rick, who says that she is a great soul who has blessed the lives of all who know her. May the face of our Lord shine on you, Rochelle, on this special day. You can be a day sponsor, too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
I saw a post on Facebook one day from my sister, and as I read it, I could imagine Jesus speaking those very words. It read, "Before you pray, believe." So I thought of Mother Mary, the perfect example of someone with true faith. Before you speak, listen. Jesus was not only a preacher, he listened. That's what being a true evangelizer is all about. Before you spend, earn. Well, in Hebrews it reads, keep your lives free from love of money and be content with what you have. Before you write, think. Well, I always pray and meditate and ask God to give me the words he wants others to hear and read. Before you quit, try. Well, in Psalms it reads, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Before you die, live. Well, when it comes to living, God wants us to do that with love. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Princeton's Professor Robert George spoke at the first meeting of the year at the Our Lady of Good Counsel Gospel of Life group.
Well, I do want to talk with you this evening, as Father said, about something that I know you've all heard people say, and that's the idea that one can be legitimately, reasonably, logically, consistently opposed to the taking of human life in abortion and embryo destructive research, yet nevertheless pro-choice, respectful of the right of other people to have abortions or to perform deadly experiments on human embryos.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. That was Princeton's Professor Robert George. On our next program, you'll hear him talk about life and so-called Catholic politicians and their abortion views. He'll unmask their clouded thinking and take questions from the audience. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Philip is with us in Ireland, listening on the app. Philip, good to have you with me.
How are you?
I'm doing well. What can we talk about?
I really love your show. I mean, it's given me so much heart in the last couple of years just to listen to your show.
Well, thank you so much.
I think our faith has been so badly damaged and beaten up, you know, by the secular world. So it's lovely to hear your show every night. I listen between 9 and 11 every evening.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It just occurred to me about saints. I mean, is it not a wee bit egotistical to say that we have to achieve great things or be like Mother Teresa? I mean, I pray to that woman every day. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the sense of maybe the hidden life in Christ sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, hello, Al, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's a sense of, you know, I'm reading von Balthasar's book on Therese of Lisieux and Elizabeth of the Trinity at the moment.
Yes.
And you get a great sense of their hiddenness in Christ. You know, they never set out to do anything but to. And I think this is the kernel of it. It's just simply to allow God to love us.
Yes.
This is the start of it.
That's beautiful. This is where it originates. It's true that we tend, in this culture, we tend to look at the outreach, the external achievements of the saints. Mother Teresa is a great example of that.
But she didn't set out to do that.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
She set out just to do what she was asked.
That is right. And she did not. Yeah. In fact, after the 1997, I think, was it 97? No, it was earlier. When she decided not to use all the moral capital she had generated to lead a crusade, she continued to do the work that God had called her to. She never left that calling. She could have led an international crusade against abortion. She could have generated a great political clout. She could have raised vast sums of money to fight all kinds of illnesses.
I work as a counselor. I work with addicts quite a bit, and I'm coming to realize more in my work. You know, I will talk about faith to anybody who wants to talk about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I always say to people, you know, you must. People pray, Jesus, please love me, not because he doesn't love them, but because they need to know he loves them.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't think people I don't think people realize they've received divine love.
Yeah, and if you don't realize, I mean, I pray that all the time myself because I need to realize it myself in my own life. But I do think, you know, if we don't realize that, I mean, so much can be done if our hearts open to that transformation, you know, and it happens hidden. It's inside. The world doesn't see it happening.
That's right.
It's almost like a microwave cooks from the inside out, you know.
I like that. Nice illustration. Philip, thanks for the call. Very good.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I love you. I love your show. Thanks, Al. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, this is a great example, and the life of Mother Teresa actually shows us this. She had no idea she was going to be famous. She had no idea that she was going to be successful at starting this order. She was obeying what she had been told. She was examining her relationship to God and understanding how she had been called and gifted. And so there's this very famous 1947 call within a call, where she's, you know, on the train and she realizes that she's being called to minister to the poorest of the poor, to minister to those who are really Christ in his most distressing disguise. And it's the work that we've all come to know with the Missionaries of Charity and in Calcutta. And this was a woman who was also, we may not know this, but it's well known by those who worked with her, she was an extraordinary administrator, too. She wasn't just a great lover. She was not just a great minister. She was a great administrator. In other words, she could have made it big. She could have run, you know, she could have been CEO of great organizations. But she wasn't called to do that. She was called to contemplation, the Eucharist, and ministering to the poorest of the poor. And she raised up a community alongside her to do it. And she did that
in the silence of her prayer in Eucharistic adoration. The number is 1-877-573-7825. Continuing with your calls, let's head to Buffalo, New York. Dave is listening there on the Stations of the Cross. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. What can we talk about?
Well, I like what Phil had said before,
yeah.
Last call. I think it's the internal disposition to really, have this love relationship with the Lord and praying. I just think our culture just kind of works against that.
Yes.
I was mentioning to the screener that, in Poland, communism, couldn't keep the people away from Mass and worship, 90% attendance. But then after the fall of the wall in 89, we had a culture of death, abundant culture of abundance and superabundance entering into their country. And within 5 years, their church attendance was down 50%. And I just think that, it just works against a person to really be able to really, grow in holiness. It's such a fast moving culture that, I'm afraid these kids are not going to even know what it means to be able to be a contemplative and sit still and just listen to God, because they're all going at 100 miles an hour. And can they ever slow down enough to really to hear that still small voice inside?
Yeah.
And I know this one guy who would take people to Haiti. And he would call it reverse evangelization, because when people would go over there, they would just be floored and converted to, like, they never thought they needed to be converted because of the poverty over there. So it's not that I would want to live in that kind of environment, but I think that we're basically so polluted by superabundant riches that we're spiritually don't even know we're lost.
In the book of Deuteronomy, there are abundant warnings to Israel that when wealth comes upon them, when they get settled in the land, when things are going well, that's when they're going to be their most vulnerable. And that seems to be It seems to be a principle that the more we have, the more prosperity we have, the more options we've got, the less important the God option is. And I do think that you made an excellent point, and that is, in this culture of superabundance, the saintly life looks, it doesn't look valuable. It looks kind of silly. It looks impractical. Who could live that way? And I think it looks implausible. So, that's, again, goes back to the question of worldliness, a phrase that we use to describe the pressure of society. And society is able to, the society tends to inflame us with extravagant expectations of what life owes us. There are entire industries created to tell us what we deserve. The whole world of advertising and marketing and entertainment and news media, all tell us, they all give us a certain image of the life we ought to be living and what's normal living. And that life is usually very, very high, upper middle class. We all need to have new cars every few years. I was looking at my own family, and we are not a wealthy family, but I went out into the driveway last week, and I saw five different cars there. Now, not everybody lived at our house any longer, but they lived in the area. My parents had never had more than one car in their driveway. I remember when I was pastoring, young people coming in for premarital counseling, expected that they would leave their parents' home, get married, and then be at the same level, same standard of living that their mom and dad were when they left. And it didn't really dawn on them that they're going to have to, in all likelihood, take a step or two back. Yes, a superabundance creates extravagant expectations. It creates lots of distractions. And as we learn in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Proverbs, that abundance can, in fact, cloud our vision of God and our sense of obligation and our sense of dependence. Good talk to me today. Thanks. All right. The number is 1-877-573-7825. We have time. We can take another call this hour. Sure. Let's go listening on EWTN Radio through the satellite, Sirius Satellite Radio. We've got Barbara in New Hampshire. Hi there, Barbara.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking your call.
Sure.
One thing I would like to mention is that my husband and I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
But I happened to start on my way home, and in the middle of the conversation you were having, I think, with Louise in Colorado.
Yes.
About becoming a saint. Well, she had mentioned that there was a crib or something in her parish that wasn't being utilized.
Right.
And
A pregnancy crib, right. People
right.
could contribute, and this is probably going to be used to help women with unexpected
right.
pregnancies. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a volunteer director of a crisis pregnancy center here in New Hampshire. And one thing that our parish has done, they've set up a dresser, and we have what they call a diaper cake on it, and we put little booties with items that we need. But I would suggest that she get in contact with a crisis pregnancy center in her area and become a liaison for the crisis pregnancy center in her parish.
It's a good idea. I didn't ask her, and you raise a good point. I didn't ask her if people actually were confident that if they put something in that pregnancy crib, that they could really count on it being appreciated and used. And I think that's part of the problem, is if people may not know that how important this is. And if she contacts a local crisis pregnancy center, then she's going to be able to also tell stories of how the donations were used and how important they are. Somebody needs to cheerlead this. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely, to have someone in the parish. I know you need to take a break.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, Barbara. Thank you so much. And,
you're welcome. Have a good day.
Yeah. Great hearing from New Hampshire. I remember going to the base of the White Mountains in 1969 for a friend of mine named Carl's wedding. And I jumped off a 30-foot bridge that day, and I got water in my ears. It was painful for hours.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, Tom Lowy here, Development Director for Ave Maria Radio. Our fall membership drive is September 6th through the 9th this year. That's the week of Labor Day, and we really need volunteers to make this drive successful. If you can spare a couple of hours during any of the days of the drive, that's September 6th through the 9th, give us a call at 877-288-1077 or email our volunteer director, Cheryl, by going to volunteer@avemariaradio.net.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. During the years I was an evangelical pastor, the letters of St. Paul were my stock in trade. In fact, teaching through his letter to the Romans helped lead me back to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, beginning on October 27th this year, my friends Steve Ray and Father Steve Matson and I will be following in the footsteps of St. Paul, leading a pilgrimage and seminar at sea as we cruise the Mediterranean. We'll visit Corinth and Philippi, Thessalonica, Ephesus, and many more biblical sites. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. We're going to continue taking your calls at the other side of the hour after the news break, so hang in there. We're going to continue with this topic. Again, the topic being saints, the communion of saints. How do we do we really understand that when we talk about saints, we are supposed to be talking about ourselves? Now, this weekend, of course, we're focusing on Mother Teresa, and we are extraordinarily blessed because with John Paul II and with Mother Teresa, we'll have in our own experience two saints that we actually lived with. I don't know how often that's happened in the history of the Church, but I know that in my own lifetime, I think this is probably the only time that I can say two of my favorite people in life were actually canonized. I don't think when I was younger anybody was canonized that I actually felt I knew. Anyways, the point is, though, why do we spend so much time focusing on the perfections of Mother Teresa when, in fact, she would say to us, find your way to Christ. Now, she would of course urge us to imitate the saints, but that's, I guess, my point. So does our veneration of the saints end up working against our imitation of the saints? I'll say it again. Do we allow our veneration of the saints to avoid us imitating those saints? I sometimes think that's the case because they seem so far off. When I was a kid, as I said earlier, that they seemed too far away. That's not my destiny. At best, I go to purgatory, right? Well, that's not the way we should be thinking. We should be anticipating that we are saints. St. Paul calls us saints. That's a word we should use. Now, it's true the Church has formal canonization procedures by which we publicly celebrate certain saints as a community. So that's special, but still, we're all called to be saints.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's street evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection.